Make 2026 work for you. Partner with the Gazette to build a smart advertising strategy across print, digital, and social platforms. Start the conversation with an email to advertising@thegazette.com.
Welcome back to Hawk Off the Press. My name is Madison Ritzik. I am the Iowa beat writer for the Gazette, and I am in Tampa, along with two college sports reporters who are also college students, and that is Brad Schultz and Jackson Miller from the Daily Iowan. Welcome to the show, you two.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, for sure.
So we have been enjoying warm, sunny, gorgeous Tampa, Florida for the last couple of days. I don't know about you two, but I'm really not looking forward to like coming back to Iowa where there's a snowstorm and all the cold coming back. We were at the beach day yesterday ahead of the ReliaQuest Bowl, and they were saying it's a 60 degree temperature difference between yeah. Iowa City and Tampa, Florida right now. But we are here on a mission. We're not here just for fun as much as you two are on your winter break. The ReliaQuest Bowl is tomorrow at noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, number 23 Iowa football and number 14 Vanderbilt. All right, so now we get to go into the fun part. Aside from all of the fun that we had on the beach yesterday, what have you two made of this experience overall? Maybe just kind of being in Tampa, exploring what Vanderbilt looks like, what Iowa's looking like leading up to this bowl game, and just, I don't know, some of the pomp and circumstance of this bowl game.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun to be down here. Clearly, both of these teams want to win this football game, and they care about being here. And that's something you don't see currently in this landscape of college sports right now. And you're going to see a really even game tomorrow, and that's what makes this game so exciting for me.
Yeah, it's also cool to see, like, the players enjoying themselves, too. Like, we were at Busch Gardens yesterday, you know, or 2 days ago, and, you know, they were enjoying their time there, you know, taking their mind off football. But like Brad said, you know, they still – both teams want to win this game. You know, I was at Vanderbilt practice. That was the feeling there as well. They were focusing on, you know, being the best version of themselves so they can come out and win this football game and end the season on a high note.
Well, and you, Jackson, being at Vanderbilt's practice, you were one of the people to kind of really see firsthand that – Vanderbilt star tight end Eli Stowers has opted out of this bowl game. When you were at practice, it was still kind of up in the air what the details were, but this is a big deal for Vanderbilt. Obviously, Diego Pavia is going to be their star player as the Heisman runner-up, the whole nine yards, but to not have their top tight end participate, their leading receiver too, I mean, that's a big difference in how this Vanderbilt offense works. Jackson, what did you see out of Vanderbilt's practice when you were there that kind of maybe could be a more of a benefit for maybe Iowa fans that are looking to see what Vanderbilt will look like without Stowers available?
Yeah, I mean, it really does. You know, like you said, they play through Stowers a lot. You know, they like to hit those seam shots up the middle, you know, with those tight ends. And they have a couple guys that were rotating in throughout the practice. So I'm not exactly sure who's going to be the starter, but that could be something to look for is, you know, maybe they do try to switch it up and kind of run a rotation of tight ends. But there's probably a good chance it's going to be a bulk of one or two guys. So it should be interesting to see how they play it because that's where they find their success is over the middle of the field on those deep shots. I did see Pavia, you know, he called out a coverage on one play and threw a seam shot over the middle to the tight end. So I think they're still pretty confident in what they've got.
Well, I think that's the big thing too, is that there's a lot of focus on Pavia and Stowers not playing in this bowl game. But at the same time, Stowers has four touchdowns, receiving touchdowns this year. Like, it's not as many as people think, despite the fact that he has had a plethora of catches. What have you guys made of Pavia and his ability to play at this position throughout this year? I mean, Clark Lee was saying it earlier. You don't just run into a 10-win season. You don't luck into a 10-win season. What have you guys made of the Heisman runner-up this year?
Man, Diego Pavia is impressive. I've loved to watch this guy ever since he came to Vanderbilt last season. Plays with a ton of passion, and he just plays the game the right way. He can run outside the pocket, make plays with his legs on the run, and he's just an elite dual-threat quarterback. And if there's anything that has been an Achilles heel for a Phil Parker defense, it's dual-threat quarterbacks. And it's going to be a really tough challenge to stop Diego Pavia, but he's just a fun player to watch, and I'm glad we get to see him in person tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, you know, he's not only are those, you know, traits, you know, obviously the physical talent and everything, but he's also a great leader. You know, he picks everyone up at practice, makes everybody better. You know, it's just those type of things that you don't find very often in a good quarterback like that. And he does play with a lot of swagger. You know, a lot of people say he's too cocky or he kind of makes a fool of himself, which he sometimes does. But he's still just a great leader, plays a lot of swag, a lot of confidence. You know, he's going to go make the game, you know, put the game in his hands. He wants to, you know, have the ball at all times and make plays.
Well, I have to ask about this because we all were just before you guys headed off to Hawkeye Huddle, where you all are now, we were at the joint press conference with Kirk Ferentz, Clark Lee. One of the questions that was asked was if they could have an actor anywhere in the world play these two head coaches, who would they be? I'll give you what the two coaches said after, but I want to hear what you two are thinking here.
Oh, man, that's tough.
Well, I'd say for Clark Lee, Woody Harrelson, because they're both bald. I think that would, I hate to do Clark dirty like that, but that would be my pick just because Woody's a great actor. And like I said, they're both bald. And for Kirk, oh, man.
Kirk's a tough one.
It's very tough.
And I don't know very many actors either. Like, I'm not a big movie guy, so
I don't know.
It's a harder question than you realize. It's surprisingly. Yeah. Like, I did get a good kick out of it. So Kirk Ferentz specifically said Clint Eastwood, specifically from the movie The Mule, which I thought was a great reference. And then Clark Lee said Brad Pitt, which I thought was hilarious. We all had a good laugh out of that. But he was pitched Billy Bob Thornton, specifically without the hair, which when you look up a photo of Billy Bobby Thornton, it does kind of make sense. I do like the Woody Harrelson one, though. I will say that was a good one. But now the real question, who would play you two?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm really putting you on the spot now.
Yeah, you are.
How about Will Ferrell? I just love Will Ferrell.
Ooh, okay.
I'd probably go with Jonah Hill. I feel like our sense of humor is pretty similar, so I think he could play that role pretty easily.
And just a comedic duo between the two of you the whole time. There you go. That is awesome. Yeah, I mean, listen, the press conference today with the two head coaches, I mean, I feel like there was a ton that you could take away from, even though a lot of times those pre-bowl press conferences are a lot more formal and things like that. What were some of the biggest takeaways the two of you had from what Ferentz said, but also from what Lee said?
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway for me is that both of these programs are built the same way. And Clark Lee and Kirk Ferentz both referenced that. Obviously, Kirk Ferentz has built Iowa into a model of consistency for the last 27 years. And Clark Lee, in my opinion, is trying to do the exact same thing in Nashville. And both coaches have a lot of respect for each other. And you're going to see that tomorrow. And it's going to be a perfect clash of styles.
Yeah, I mean, Clark Lee even said today, he's like, obviously, I'm not going to be Kirk Ferentz, but it's like he's someone that he looks up to and wants to kind of model his program around. So, you know, they're both, like you said, Brad, it's going to be a very intriguing matchup to see these two programs clash. You know, they both have, like, similar goals each year. So, and I think Clark Lee's done an incredible job of just building this program from the ground up and using the portal to his advantage as well.
Well, I think one of the things that makes this matchup particularly intriguing is that when you really start looking and comparing these two, there is a common denominator between Iowa and Vanderbilt, and that is Tim Lester, which, I mean, Clark Lee and Tim Lester, they both work together at Syracuse, which is fun for me, being a graduate of the university myself. But, I mean, when you look at that, that means that Lee knows that Lester can get creative. We've seen a few flashes of that offensive creativity from Iowa throughout this year. I specifically look at that USC game with the Philly special remake, I guess. How important is it going to be for Iowa to get a little creative in this bowl game with a Vanderbilt defense that is pretty consistent, despite the fact that the offense has kind of been a little bit more of the talked about subject this year?
Yeah, and why wouldn't you get creative? It's a bowl game. I'm not going to say it's meaningless because it's not, but it's your last game it's your last chance to win a football game and send a great group of seniors out on a high note. So why not empty the kitchen sink? And if I'm Tim Lester, every play is available in this game.
Yeah, for sure. And I also think, you know, you also got to look at being aggressive too. If you get a fourth and short, you know, middle of the field, kind of 50 to 40 yard line, you might want to look at going for it, which Kirk Ferentz doesn't do a lot. And yeah, just the creativity. I think, you know, Vanderbilt, they don't give up very many points, but they do give up a lot of yards. So I think their red zone defense has been pretty solid. So I think that's the area of the field you might see some more creativity like the Philly special play to Gronowski or some sort of, you know, gadget play to try to catch them off guard.
Well, and one of the things that has really been highlighted with this matchup hasn't necessarily been Iowa's offense versus Vanderbilt's defense. It's Vanderbilt's offense and Iowa's defense has been like the marquee marketing poise of this bowl game. What about this Iowa defensive line? This is a very veteran defensive line that's getting their final chance to show out. Aside from getting to Pavia, we know that that's going to be task number one. There's so much about Vanderbilt's run game that's not necessarily talked about as much. How important is that going to be in just trying to get Pavia uncomfortable?
Yeah, for sure. I think it all starts with stopping the run, because if you can force them into, you know, third and long situations, then you can start to kind of get after Pavia a little bit. I think, that defensive line is going to have to hold their ground because, you know, Vanderbilt likes to run kind of a spread offense. They like to move their guys, you know, far away from the line of scrimmage. Five linemen, one running back. You got to be able to maintain your rush lanes because, you know, you only have six defenders in there with, you know, five, maybe six blockers. Someone's going to have to win a one-on-one. So it's going to be important they do that and also beat those double teams on the interior. It's just going to be a great showing of good defensive line play versus a pretty solid offensive line in Vanderbilt.
Yeah, and if I'm Phil Parker, I send more pressure in this game. He doesn't normally do that. We see a lot of three- or four-man rushes, but you're going to have to get pressure on Pavia. You can't just let him sit back there all day because he will beat you, simply put. And we'll see what Phil does, but you're going to have to get pressure.
Well, I think what makes Pavia so interesting is that not only is he dangerous when you don't put a ton of pressure and you let him sit in the pocket because he has time to scan a lot longer, but he seems to be extremely effective scrambling out of the pocket too. So how much more, we've talked about the Iowa's ability to manage a bunch of different quarterbacks, including the actual Heisman winner, Fernando Mendoza from Indiana, earlier this year. But when you look at Pavia's capabilities, his scramble ability is something that Iowa hasn't seen this year. Why is that so intriguing for you two? I know you two have been defensive gurus the last couple of days, so I'm intrigued to pick your brain a little bit more about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be – you know, obviously with Mendoza in that Indiana game, like, you knew he wasn't going to be as good as escaping the pocket as Pavia. Like, he could run when he needs to, but he's not as, you know, good on the run with throwing the football as Pavia is. So that game, Iowa was able to kind of send, you know, seven guys and get home without worrying about maintaining their rush lanes. But in this game, it's going to be important for Iowa to keep contain on the outside because you don't want him to turn his back and do that, like, Russell Wilson boot out. Like we saw, and, you know, he's just going to let the ball fly downfield. So it's going to be important you keep contained and don't get too, you know, aggressive trying to go get a sack because he can, you know, beat you in just one step. So, yeah, it's going to be important that when you do send pressure and you do, even if you're sending four, maybe even, you know, seven or eight guys even, you're going to have to make sure you maintain those rushing lanes so he doesn't have anywhere to go.
Yeah, and Diego Pavia is the best dual threat quarterback in the country. Obviously, Fernando Mendoza is the Heisman winner for a reason, rightfully so. But there's nobody in America that's been able to stop Diego Pavia's legs. And I watched that Tennessee game at the end of the regular season. He went into a hostile environment, a place that Vanderbilt has always struggled in, and he carved up the Tennessee defense left and right. They had no answer. And like I mentioned before, dual threat QBs has always been a problem for Iowa. So can they find a way to stop him? But yeah, it's going to be tough.
One of the things that when we were speaking to 247 reporter Elena Morris about, you know, just before the holiday break, when we first found out that this was going to be Iowa Vanderbilt, she mentioned that prolonged drives are going to be huge for both teams, both for Iowa to have a lengthy offensive drive and for Vanderbilt to really eat up the clock. Because Vanderbilt is obviously known for those explosive plays, but eating up the clock is so big. Where do you see the team, which team needs to eat up the clock more and why?
I would say it's Iowa because that's just their style. They like to run the football, old-fashioned, short throws. And they've done it all year. We saw the Oregon game. That was an 8-minute scoring drive. USC, I think they had like an 8-minute scoring drive. But it's got to be Iowa, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you 100%. I mean, it's going to have to be, you know, you're going to have to live with giving up explosive plays here and there. Like, you'd rather give up a quick touchdown than an 8-minute drive touchdown. So then you can get the ball back and do the same thing for your offense and just milk more clock so you can keep the game close. Because if you start having quick drives as well, you're just in this back-and-forth shootout, That's not a game I think Iowa can win because it's not their style. So they're going to have to, you know, lean on the run game like they have been all year, milk that clock, you know, get 8-9 minute drives and finish with a touchdown.
All right, now I get to ask a fun question. You two are both college students, so not only are you getting an opportunity to cover your alma mater, but you're getting to do it, you know, at a very young age with a great opportunity. What's been the most enjoyable part of this experience for you two?
Man, everything. I mean, I can't even name one thing. Growing up in the state of Iowa, you just dream of being involved with the Hawkeyes in some way, and it's just a pleasure to be able to tell the stories of these great student athletes and do it at the highest level, and I've enjoyed every single second of it.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, even though I'm just a sophomore and this is my first time covering football, like just the connections I've made over the past year and a half of working for the Daily Iowan is just incredible. And, you know, it's just going to help me in my future, and it's awesome to get an opportunity to do it this early and just have a great team of people at the DI that get to send us on these trips. You know, it's not cheap, so, you know, it's really cool that we get to have this opportunity, and I'm just trying to take advantage of it and just meet as many people as possible so I can connect.
Look at you guys with the great little college answer. That's how I know you guys have been paying attention to interviews. That was a great answer from both of you guys. Very, very media, a very good media question right there. All right, so now I get to ask the fun part. I'm going to ask both of you this. What does Vanderbilt need to do to absolutely have a surefire ability to win this game?
I think Vanderbilt needs to make Mark Gronowski beat him. Jackson and I have talked about it. Their front seven on defense is a little weak, so I think Iowa's going to have an opportunity to run the football in this game. But if they can stop the run and make Mark Gronowski and the passing offense beat them, then that might not be the best thing for Iowa because Iowa hasn't eclipsed 200 passing yards all season. So it's hard to say if this will be the game where that happens, but that's the key for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, for sure. I think it all starts with the Vanderbilt defense and making those stops. You know, Their defensive line, you know, on the film, they're getting blown off the ball 3-4 yards. Their linebackers, it's kind of like that USC defense, you know, where it's like you can kind of exploit that. And, you know, I think that's going to be the biggest key for Vanderbilt is locking down that run game, like you said, and just making Gronowski uncomfortable too. If you can force him into drop backs and then also send pressure and try to, you know, run some stunt games with this offensive line, because we've seen, obviously, they're the Joe Moore Award-winning O-line, so you're not going to do it with just four guys rushing straight up. You're going to have to throw in stunts, throw in blitz packages, disguise coverage. It's going to be, you know, the whole 9 yards for their defense to try to, you know, stop that run game and get Gronowski uncomfortable.
Well, and speaking of the Joe Moore award-winning offensive line, we had an opportunity to hear from Ferentz for the very first time, really, since the offensive line received that award at the end of a practice. It was live-streamed on YouTube. They had just closed out the huddle and opened the gates to the weight room, and there was that giant, I think it's like an 800-pound trophy or something. It's, like, massive. But we've talked about how good this offensive line is all year. Clark Lee said it best when we were talking to him earlier today. This game, as much as we could talk X's and O's and play calling and all of that, it's going to be in the trenches and how the two lines are going to respond to one another. Where do you see that coming really to fruition?
Yeah, I think the biggest matchup, I think, is more of the Iowa D-line against the Vandy O-line, because Vanderbilt's O-line has been good. You know, they've been solid. You know, but Pavia does make a lot of plays with his legs. So, it seems like he is under pressure quite a bit, but he's able to escape. So I think that's the biggest matchup you really have to watch for is can Iowa bring pressure with four so they can, you know, take care of the passing game? Because Iowa is not known as a pass rushing team unless they send extra guys. So it's going to be important for those guys to beat their man one-on-one and get to the quarterback because, you know, otherwise it's just going to get dangerous. If you can't get pressure with four, like we said earlier, he's just going to sit back there all day and throw the ball and pick you apart.
But going back to the offensive line of Iowa, this is just a special group. A lot of seniors that have poured their blood, sweat, and tears into this program, and they're going to do everything they can to win their last game as Hawkeyes. You got Logan Jones, Jennings Dunker, just to name a few. And that award means a lot to Kirk Ferentz because Joe Moore was one of his biggest mentors. So that was really cool to see. But yeah, Iowa's got a huge advantage there, but certainly it's going to be interesting to see how the defensive line competes with their O-line.
Well, I think one of the most interesting parts of Ferentz talking about the Joe Moore Award was he was joking. He was like, you know, it kind of feels like it's almost like it's a great achievement because you see the hard work come to fruition. But at the same time, he's like, we need to make sure that they still play the same way because he's seen it tons of times. A team will win an award after a great regular season, then all of a sudden they don't show up in the game, which I think Lee kind of took it. You could see Lee kind of smile at that comment and giggle and was like, hey, you know, that might actually help us a little bit in that case. But now I get to ask the flip side of the question I asked initially, and you guys cannot have the same answer. So I'm putting you both on the spot. Rock, paper, scissors, who gets to go first? I don't care. But once Iowa's defense starts settling in and figuring out Pavia, what's the next step for Iowa to be able to beat Vanderbilt, whether that be offensive or defensively? If Iowa's able to get those stops, what needs to happen next?
You just got to be aggressive, like we talked about. Last year against Missouri, Iowa had so many chances to break that game open late in that second quarter, and they just didn't do it. You have to be aggressive for all 60 minutes, and you're going to be getting stops at some point in the game because Phil Parker's just that guy, and Kirk Ferentz has to play aggressive. You got to play to win this game.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be important to play complementary football. You know, if you're – defense gives you the ball in the short field, maybe you get a big return from Wiegen on a punt, your offense has to be able to capitalize on that and get points. You know, and especially it's going to be especially important you get touchdowns over field goals because you're not going to win this game kicking field goals because Vanderbilt has a chance to score plenty of points, you know, against no matter who they play. So it's going to be important that you turn those stops into points offensively.
Well, we haven't really talked much about special teams, but we will mention it real quick since you brought it up, Jackson. We talked to Caden Wiegen earlier this week. Vanderbilt does not give a lot when it comes to punting. And where we've seen Caden maybe have, you know, 3-4 opportunities in a game, it really might only be one or two. And that's assuming that even – you could maybe even factor in kickoff return opportunities here, and it'll still be pretty low. So we've seen what Wiegen can do. There's a reason that he won the Jet Award last year. There's a reason he's a finalist again this year. How important – he kind of gave us a little bit of an answer with it earlier this week, but if he gets that one punt, how important is that one punt going to be?
Oh, and knowing Caden Wiegen, he's going to make the most of it. We've seen what he can do all season. Give him a lot of space, he's obviously going to beat you. But if you give him just a teeny bit of space, he can beat you. So he's going to take every opportunity that he gets. And like you said, it might only be one because he told us that Vanderbilt likes to kick it out of bounds or kick it away from the return man. So we'll see how many chances he'll get. But, you know, he's going to be making a play.
Yeah, we've seen a couple teams, you know, try to mix up how they try to prevent a return. You know, we've seen – Oregon, they're a really good special teams unit on their punt coverage. They spread out their guys and, you know, just had more gunners than Iowa had defenders, you know, to stop him. So, and then you also saw, like, I think it was Michigan State just had their quarterback step back and just pooch it, you know, so he's not even on the field. So it's going to be interesting to see how Vanderbilt attacks that. But I do think, like Brad said, he's going to take advantage of any opportunity he gets.
All right, final question for you two. I gave you the heads up already, so hopefully you were thinking about it in the midst of answering my plethora of questions. What's your score prediction, and why do you have that score prediction?
I've got Iowa winning this game 27-24. I think that's going to surprise a lot of people. I know it surprised Vanderbilt when I chatted with them last week, but Iowa's just so close to that breakthrough against a ranked team, and I feel like this is the game. I think they're going to contain Pavia. They're not going to stop him because you can't, but I think the offense is going to be able to run the football. Mark Gronowski is going to ball out, and Iowa's going to get a big win here in Tampa.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the pick I made on our story we did before for the pregame edition, and I'm going to go with Vanderbilt winning 23-20. I think it might be like another heartbreak for Hawkeye fans like they've seen all year. I picked Iowa to beat USC, I'm pretty sure, in our predictions back then, and I can't get myself to pick Iowa to beat a ranked team until it happens. It'll be fun regardless because both teams aren't full strength. So it is kind of like you are playing in the regular season. I just think Vanderbilt's going to hold on, you know, just at the end. I think they take an early lead and then Iowa starts kind of climbing back into it. But then they just hold on at the end, maybe kick a game-winning field goal or something, you know, late.
I was going to say, I feel like that might be the dagger right there, just thinking. I know there are a lot of Oregon fans that were relieved to see that Dante Moore had one more drive against Iowa with 1:51 on the clock, and there are a lot of Iowa fans that one's going to sting for a little while. But you talk about those ranked wins. I am going to throw one more at you guys. You talk about that ranked streak. Iowa struggling to get over that hump. Brad, I'm going to throw this one to you because you mentioned it and you think that you have belief that this Hawkeye team can do it. How close do you feel like Iowa really is to getting over that hump, considering every single ranked loss this year has been one score and it's come down to one drive in the fourth quarter in every single scenario?
They're right there, Maddie. And like you said, they've been so close in all these games. And I think back to when I first started covering the team last year, they couldn't compete with ranked teams. It was really bad. But this year, they finally found a way to compete. So it just feels like they're on the verge of that breakthrough. At some point, an acorn's got to find a nut, right? Or a squirrel's got to find a nut.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's sometimes, you know, I mean, I guess to use another saying, sometimes when you chip at the rock long enough, it will crack. And so maybe this is the game that happens. But regardless, enjoy the rest of Hawkeye Huddle. I know the two of you have been extremely busy along with the rest of the Daily Iowan crew. You guys have been doing some seriously great coverage all year long. And I appreciate you both for hopping on for this podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yep, thanks for having us.
All right, and if you guys like this content, I have a newsletter every week with the exact same name, Hawk Off the Press. That comes out every Friday morning. It goes straight to your inbox. It is free. You can sign up for that at thegazette.com, along with this podcast that comes out every single week as well, and you'll never know who else we'll bring on. But until next time, thanks for watching.
Travel should be simple. With Gazette Travel, every detail is handled. You just show up and enjoy with fellow Iowans. View available trips at thegazette.com/travel.